Hello, and thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.BiteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Dr. Carolyn Edwards, and she is author of I Look Good, I Feel Good, I Am Good, The Woman's Guide to Love, Peace, and Happiness. Dr. Edwards was born and raised in Washington, D.C., and is a Howard University alumnus. She holds a master's and doctorate degree in management. She is a coach, author, professor, consultant, writer, mentor, and advocate. Her call is to educate, motivate, teach, train, and empower others for life success. She has more than 18 years of government, industry, entrepreneurship, education, and consulting and training experience. You can find out more about Dr. Edwards by visiting her website, which is www.drcarolynedwards.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, let me go ahead and welcome Dr. Carolyn to the show. Good day. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Great. Well, I am too. I always love to have someone on who looks good, feels good, and is good. So
each and every day.
There you go. Well, you know, I read a little bit. Your book is available on Amazon, and for those of you listeners who would be interested in looking at Dr. Carolyn's book, go on Amazon, and it gives you a little kind of peek into what the book is about. If you just do click on that look inside, and when I did that, Dr. Carolyn, the very beginning part talks a little bit about your story, and it seems like you came from a place of challenge. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with the listeners a little bit more about your story and you know, kind of where you came from and how you got to looking, feeling, and being good.
Sure, I'll be delighted. Actually, just like you said, I became a writer and a professor and a coach out as a result of some challenges that I was having. And at that time, I was not trained to be a coach nor a professor. I was a federal government worker, and I actually was an IT auditor auditing out information systems in the bank. So I know these are totally two different careers, but that's what I was doing at the time.
Well, that just goes to show that if you're doing something that you is kind of boring now, you can easily move on to something more exciting, right?
You can reinvent yourself. And I can say at that time I was not passionate. It was a career, and, of course, it paid the bills, but I was not passionate about the job at all because my personality, I feel my gifts and talents and skills were actually best used when I could talk to people and help people, empower people. And so what happened during that time, I was having issues with my job. I went on an international trip. I got sick. My father had passed away, and I was going through a divorce all at the same time. And then to add insult to injury, I lost my job, and my apartment caught on fire.
Oh my God.
I mean, that was a lot of tragedy in a very short period of time. And so since I didn't have any material possessions, and I mean when I lost everything, I had nothing, zero clothes, anything to do my hair with. I only had the pair of shoes and the clothes that were on my back. So as a result of that, I had a lot of time, was jobless and basically homeless. So I had a lot of time to really figure out what life meant and what I wanted to do with the rest of it, because thus far, I mean, you know, I was making my way and I was successful in my career, But it, you know, made me think about what I wanted to do with the rest of my life going forward. So fast forward from that, I really delve into working with others and trying to help them, whether teaching them various business courses. And from that, I started coaching because a lot of my students needed additional mentoring. And so that's how my life changed for the better. And I was able to, you know, do something that I love. And the book came about because a lot of people would call, and I just could not help everyone, you know, in a proper time frame. And so I took a lot of the questions and concerns, used the management principles that I learned in school, and put them in the book to help people live successfully.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people, if they were, they found themselves in that situation, you know, with no job, no home, and a broken up family in a sense, a lot of people would really kind of find it difficult to rebound from that. I mean, you know, that's quite a challenge.
Of course. And a lot of people would find themselves on medication, or they would self-medicate, you know, through food or alcohol, and that's one of the reasons why quite a few people have, you know, addictions and low self-esteem and, you know, just not having the tools to deal with life and its challenges. And I am sure that many people go through other hard and harder trials, as I include in the book, I Look Good, I Feel Good, I Am Good. You have women sharing their stories of how they overcame cancer, unplanned pregnancies, miscarriage, homelessness, joblessness, abusive relationships. So many times we go through life's ups and downs and we don't talk about the issues and we don't address them. And so as a result, this was my hope, that I could reach out to the masses and let them know that you don't have to give up hope, you don't have to be despondent, and give them practical and everyday tools they can use to focus on the positive. And even though you may be going through negative situations, there are many people in the world who have it worse than we do. So if you look at my situation, yes, I was jobless and homeless and broken relationship and lost all my stuff in the fire. However, I still had family who had homes that I could go get a meal and, you know, get a clean bed and things like that. And even though I lost my job, I still had my degrees, you know, that I could put to use. I still have friends that love me. And so what I did was I focused on a positive, and I would be lying if I said it was hard not to think about everything I lost. But if you take that same energy and not look at what you lost, but look at what you have, you'll be able to move on. And you might not take giant steps, but every step counts to moving forward.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, that's the one thing that I have learned through doing this show and reading so many books of people who have survived and actually overcome such adversity, is that, you know, some of the things that I look at in my life that I can go, oh, poor me, you know, I quickly really shift that to thinking of, you know, someone who had it so much worse than I did, I do,
exactly,
you know, and
yes,
you know, then begin to feel grateful that I am actually where I'm at, which really kind of shifts everything.
Exactly. And us in America, we are so blessed. We have so, if you've ever traveled to third world countries, the things we take for granted, all these snack foods or just our comforts of cable and television and radio and internet, all the things that we take for granted, that when we turn a light switch, the electricity will come on, or if we open the refrigerator, there's food in there. So we have a lot of comfort, and we don't even think about them because we have had them so long. It's almost a habit that we expect that these things will work, and when they don't, if we have an electrical storm or, you know, some act of nature, a lot of times we're angry and we're shocked. You know, you're angry when your internet is down. You expect it to be up. You want to work on your computer, or when you come home, you expect the lights to come on when you flip the switch. But a lot of people don't have that. A lot of people don't have nice homes to go to where you can turn on the heat or the air conditioning. So just like what you said, when you stop focusing on what you don't have and being grateful for the little you do, it'll change your mindset and it'll change the way you look at things and the way you look at your life and your situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned, you know, the other women's stories. Is that what kind of makes up your book, I Look Good, Feel Good, and Am Good?
Well, the book consists of several items, or several things that make the book different or great or unique. Okay, first of all, I take the tools that I learned as a result of my education and experience, and I provide 6 principles. So those are based on management principles, life principles, coaching principles, life principles, principles of success, peace, purpose, and happiness. So that's like one component.
Okay.
Another component is people actually sharing their story of how they use each principle to navigate some type of life trial. And so what makes this different is that, yes, you may have a book that includes principles, but it's just another way to drive.
Oop, did I lose you there?
People.
Oh, there we go. Okay, sorry. I thought I lost you there for a second.
Oh, okay. When you actually read about people that took that exact principle and used it to, you know, live better or more successfully or more effectively. So that's another component. An additional component is at the end of each chapter, there is an exercise for you to actually take what's presented and put it in your own words. So a lot of times you may have a teacher telling you something, some principle or some component, but a lot of times it doesn't resonate or it doesn't hit home until you actually put it in your own words so that it makes sense to you. And then lastly, after you do the exercise, there are affirmations, which are positive statements that you can say and write and post around the house that will help serve as a reminder that you are great, you are on track, you are on purpose, you're unique, you are living your dreams, and you actually have the power to change your life and make it however you want it to be.
Oh, great. Well, you know, that I love the fact that you, you know, in addition to giving the principles, you have examples, exercises, and I mean, it's really a wonderful way to put those into action for the reader. And I find that so helpful because, you know, I've read dozens and dozens of books, and you know, I've gotten, you know, a lot of them have delivered nice, wonderful, sage types of information, but sometimes it's really difficult to be able to translate it into your life and then really kind of put them into action. And to me, it's kind of like knowledge without action doesn't do a whole lot.
Right, it doesn't. It's just like, you know, it's almost like just you're dreaming or you want change to happen, but if you're not willing to do something about it, what they say, he is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So,
oh, yeah, insanity. Like, insanity, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you're wishing for something. Yeah. And I just found, even as a studious reader, I love to read. I love self-help and books like that to help you to live better and more effectively and things like that. What I found that was missing is not only the exercise, because this is a book of action. I want people, when they read this book, I want you to do something. I want you to see yourself in the pages and then be responsible and accountable for making your life what you want it to be. And I want people to stop looking at themselves as a victim of life, as if everything is happening to you, but I want them to use their power to be proactive, to make their lives exactly what they want them to be. So another component that's in the book, they also are inspirational quotes in every chapter at the beginning as well as within the body of the chapter. So you'll see other people's quotes. You'll read. I take a little biographical information from other people that went through trials and tribulations, didn't give up. And then actually a couple of the ladies that shared their stories were courageous enough to use their real names. So I feel like, you know, there was a camaraderie amongst the people that shared their stories, because they really do want to help people to realize that no matter what you go through, you know, you can take steps to make your life better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's great. Well, you know, we'll go through, I'd like to go through those principles shortly. And then as we do, maybe during one or two of them, we can take a look at the, like an exercise that was, you know, applies to a couple of them. And then maybe a couple of examples of affirmations, just so that the listeners can get a real good idea what they would read, you know, when they purchase the book. But before we start, I have to say, I just love this. You know, you start your book with "I look good," and I read in that little bit of information on Amazon that there was some kind of quote that your mother used to say about going out and making sure that you look good.
Yes. You know, I don't know, back in the day, our parents were so funny. You know, they do the best they can, and they give you these little tidbits before you leave the house. And my mom, you know, assurance to us before we left the house was to never, you know, always leave the house looking your best. And the other one was, you know, always have on clean underwear in case you have an accident, you have to go to the hospital, clean underwear. So those were her two words of wisdom, or quotes of wisdom. And no, even if you were sick, even if you were going through a bad time, she would always say, if you dress yourself appropriately, if you dress better, you feel better. So even if you were having a down day, instead of dressing with baggy clothes or clothes with holes in them, but you know, that wouldn't apply now because people pay to have holes in their clothes. So back in the day, that wasn't fashionable to go out with holes in your clothes or with your pants sagging and things like that. But she always said to dress your best, and dressing your best will always help you feel better no matter what your attitude was, whether you felt bad or sad or sick or whatever, that dressing the part will make you feel better. And then some of the other things I learned about looking good is that you'll hear some people say that dress for the job you want, not the one you have. Take it till you make it, things like that. So just dressing yourself and putting your best foot forward helps you show up for life. It's letting life know, hey, I may have some problems, but I'm not going, you know, down without a fight, or I'm going to give my best to life no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what you do to me, I'm going to look good.
That's so right. And looking good in turn makes you feel good. It makes you feel better about yourself and what you're doing, about your life, that your life matters. And so there are lots of studies that show, you know, when you are not dressed appropriately, people address you the way you're dressed. So if you're dressed and you're not professional, or you're dressed and it doesn't look like you care about yourself, then a lot of times that equates to how people treat you and how they address you.
Right. You know, that was one of the things I was kind of going to go to next is that in addition to helping one's own self feel good, it really does project to others around you, a feeling of their impression of you is a better impression, if you're dressed sloppily, that would address. And it seems like that would kind of be cyclical. You know, if you dress good, you get, people react to you good, which then again makes you feel good, and kind of like an upward spiral.
Yes, it definitely, and that's how it works. And people don't realize or understand how it works. And a lot of times, some things we just shouldn't have to worry. Don't waste your brain cells or try to figure out how it works. Just like when you turn on the light, we don't try to figure out how electricity comes to the socket, but we know it works. And so this is a principle, just like you said, it works. When you dress yourself well, and I'm not saying you have to have a designer thing. It's just clean and ironed and like you took care and your appearance, and that results in you projecting confidence that you matter, that your life matters. And so, researchers have studied this behavior for years and years, and even on a job interview, people look at the way you're dressed and you're groomed, and it just shows that you care about yourself and that you're putting your best foot forward.
Yes, and that really is the key. And for those people out there who even if you're feeling down, go ahead and put yourself on some bright colors, and make sure leave the black alone,
The grays and the browns.
Yeah, the grays and the blacks, because you're going to project that gray and black mood, and even though I have many of those in my closet.
Many people do, because black became fashionable. However, it's funny, I write about color in the book and how it changes your mood and things like that. As you said, I have that in the book. And we talked about where I'm from. I'm from Washington, D.C., but I live in Miami now. And it's so funny, when I go back to visit D.C., the colors of the clothes are so just dreary. D.C. is a very professional and structured area. But Miami is so free and creative and sunny, and
South Beach will get you every time.
Oh my gosh, I love it! And the houses are pinks and purples, and oranges and green, and those are the colors we can find all year around, and they're just like happy colors. And so I write about the research that has been done on color and whether you wear color, whether you live in color. If you can't paint the outside of your house, I talk about painting your office or your bedroom or just having an accent wall. So it definitely boosts your mood.
Yep, very much so. And I know for me, quite often when I go into my closet, in the morning, decide what I'm going to wear, truly when I look at, I have some, bright blues and greens and some really lighter colors, and it's kind of funny. If I'm feeling up and chipper and, kind of had a good night's rest, quite often I'll just go for those nice bright colors, first thing, And of course, if I've had a grumpy night, it's like, I'm going to wear my black.
Right, and that shouldn't be the case. Actually, it should be the opposite. When you have that night, you should reach for the bright and the vibrant colors because they'll help pick up your mood.
I'll have to, next time I get in that position, I'm going to have to remember that. So, one of the things that you talk about, with, like the first introduction in your book, you talk about why am I here? Is that really, that seems to be kind of like the place to start when it comes to, looking good, feeling good, and being good, you know, that, and it seems like that that was kind of where you started with when you hit that one particular spot in life that, you know, all the material aspects were gone.
Right. And so they kind of I got stripped of everything that actually meant something at that time. And I thought, you know, at first I felt down and depressed. You know, I don't have my job. I identified myself by my job and how much money I made and the friends that I had and the places I could go and, you know, for vacation and eat and things like that. But when it all got stripped away, I really had to think about what am I doing with my life? Why am I here? You know, because people are not accidents. We're all here for a reason. We're here to share something with the world. And it doesn't have to be something big and grand. It could be something simple as being a mom and caring for a child, or it could be being a librarian and helping people become interested in reading. It could be someone that picks up the trash and keeps our environment clean. It doesn't have to be something like a big CEO that makes billions or something like that.
Right.
I want people to know that no matter what you do, be your best and feel good about who you are. Don't compare yourself with others, because each person has their own purpose and vision for life, and I want people to find theirs so that they can feel good about themselves. A lot of times when we compare ourselves to others, for example, if I say, oh, he has a radio show, I don't have a radio show, so I feel less about myself and I feel more esteem for you. And a lot of times that puts us in that bad and negative circle or cycle where we compare ourselves to others, when really we should take pleasure in knowing that we are unique, that no one on this earth has the exact same DNA that can do exactly what we do the way we do it. They may do the same thing. Like, of course, there are tons of coaches in the world and millions of professors, but there's no other professor on this world that has the exact same experiences that I do, the exact same personality. And so I just want readers to start off knowing that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you look like, no matter what size you are, if you're not a size 4 or 6 or, you know, whatever society tells us we should be, if we aren't a specific color, if our hair is a specific way, that you have value. And that's where it all starts, knowing that you have a purpose for being here. And I'll say that in the book, if you're breathing and you're sucking in air, you have a purpose.
There you go. Yeah, you know, it is so important that we really recognize that what we do isn't who we are. You know, I mean,
exactly.
It's just a piece of the puzzle, and we all have so many interactions with people. And to me, it really seems that it's our ability to create positive, loving relationships with people in our lives. It seems to me that those are the things that last beyond our existence, you know, and that those are the things that we should focus on, you know, and you can do that doing anything. Yeah.
I agree. And sometimes, you know, as humans, we're hard-headed. So it's like the answers are there, but even for myself, look at all the tragedy I had to go through before I actually got what life was about or what it should be valued in life. I mean, that was a whole lot of stuff to go through. So I said, okay, I'm going to listen. You know, I don't have to have any more tragedy. I'm going to sit down and pay attention and focus on what matters. And you gave it such a great quote. What we do is not who we are. And I had to find out the hard way. But, you know, society and media and advertising, that's not the message we get.
Right.
It's like what you have, what designer bag you carry, what designer shoes you wear, what you know, hairstylist or whatever, you know, it's all outward things. They're telling you, the message is, if you have this thing or if you're this size, or if you're this height, or if you're this complexion, then you're perfect. And that's just not the case. You know, we all are unique individuals in our own right, and that's why I wanted to start with that, that you don't have to feel bad about anything you went through or where you were in the family. You know, some people feel like I'm a middle child, I'm not going to be successful, I'm the baby. I mean, it's just a lot.
No, I understand, Yeah,
we have so much stuff dumped on us, and so that's why I started with purpose and knowing why you're on the earth.
That's excellent. Well, gosh, we're already halfway through the show, so we're just moving right along, which is great. I'm going to take just a quick couple-minute break, and then when we return, we'll go ahead and then jump right into those principles, and I'll take your lead, and you can just let me know, you know, and again, as we go through the six principles, maybe during two of them we can have an example of what an exercise would be for the principles, and then maybe during two other ones we can get an idea of what some affirmations would be for those sections, okay?
Okay, awesome.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very brief break.
How much does it cost your community per year to care for one homeless person living on the streets? According to Philip Mangano, president of the American Roundtable to Abolish Homelessness, in an interview with the Tampa Bay Times on March 8th of 2012, the cost to communities for each homeless individual can be as much as $150,000 per year. We can't afford to go on ignoring the plight of the homeless. Wouldn't it be better to augment traditional programs so that a temporary fix becomes a permanent solution? My name is Frank Fudge, on behalf of the Home Ownership Pride Enriched Retraining Center. For the cost of providing services for just one individual, we can rehome, re-educate, and re-establish as many as six currently homeless people as tax-paying citizens. Utilizing the tiny house concept and educating for available jobs, Hope RC will assist these individuals in restoring their pride, dignity, and self-esteem. To find out more and to donate or volunteer, visit www.hoperetrainingcenter.org. Homeownership Pride Enriched Retraining Center, building a solution for homelessness one person at a time.
Hi, it's Maya at Mind Over Matter in Nyack, New York. I'd just like to take a moment to share with you how amazing I found Robert Sharpe's book, Joy Potential. It kind of found me at a time when I was feeling out of sorts and overwhelmed and I guess derailed by the pressures of my career and my large family and caregiving and ailing husband. I just really felt like my spark was dimming. It was a perfect time for me to pick up Joy Potential because as I just in the first few pages began to read, I found that my frame of mind wasn't so different from others dealing with challenges and the trials and tribulations of life. I guess my first feeling was that I wasn't alone, and with that I began to open more to receive the message that Robert gave of light and love and positive thinking. That's what Joy Potential is all about. His thoughts are beautifully written, and everyone, whether you're going through your own personal challenges, should read it. His message was certainly well received from me, and I'm thankful for his insight and his caring and really helping me to get back on track. I think everyone should put Joy Potential on the top of their reading list. Love and light. Thank you.
For more information or to purchase your copy of Joy Potential, visit www.joybook.me. That's joybook.me.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Dr. Carolyn Edwards. She is author of I Look Good, I Feel Good, I Am Good, The Woman's Guide to Love, Peace, and Happiness. And again, you can find out more about Dr. Carolyn by visiting her website, which is www.drcarolynedwards.com, and that's drcarolynedwards.com. And again, I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. Okay, and with that, we're back, Dr. Carolyn.
Awesome.
Great. Well, let's go ahead and move on now to some of the meat of your book. You mentioned that in it that you have six different principles that you've kind of gleaned from your work and have found to be effective in helping people improve their life. So I'd like to kind of go through and touch on a little touch on each one of them a little bit so that the listeners have an idea. And we'll start with vision. That principle number one is vision. And exactly what is that?
Okay, vision is basically having a purpose and a reason for actually living. And so many people go through motions of life, but they really don't know why they're here, why they exist, what gifts and talents and skills they're here to share with the world. And so vision, in the vision chapter, we talk about why you are here, what makes you unique, what gifts and talents you have or skills, and then what we do is we have an exercise that helps people to understand their vision and why they are here. Why it's important to understand your vision, because when you're going through trials and tribulations or uncertainty or challenges, the vision or your mission or your purpose for life is what motivates you to keep going, what inspires you to take the next step out of negativity. It propels you to look forward at the positive and not continue to look back at the negative. It helps you realize that tomorrow is a new day and that it's an opportunity to make it better than your yesterday. And so your vision is basically just a clear, short statement of why you're on this earth and what you came here to accomplish. And so the first chapter not only tells you what it's about, but it also helps you to understand your unique reason for being. And we, some of the guiding subject is what the vision is, how to develop it, how to keep it short and simple, and then take action to achieve it, as well as how to focus on the positive and not the negative. And so the reason why you should keep it simple is because you want your vision to be something that you think about each and every day. When you get up in the morning, what makes you want to get up and live life? What makes you want to do the work that you do? What makes you want to be a great person in society, or an excellent father, or a great mom, or a good teacher, or a policeman, or whatever it is that you're here to do? What inspires you to be good at it, or be great at it, or get the best out of life? And so those are some of the questions that come up in the vision chapter. And so in the exercise, I help you to develop your vision. Many people don't know why they're here. And so we start looking at purpose and some of your passions and some of your skills and your talents. And so looking at the exercise, we have several questions, maybe like 10 questions. And the questions are geared around what your purpose is for living, what inspires you, and what motivates you. So some of the questions in this particular exercise are, what do I really want out of life? What am I truly passionate about? What are my talents? What makes me unique and stand out? What are my morals and values? And if I could do anything in the world as a profession and get paid for it, what would I do? So that's some of the questions that are in the vision or purpose exercise. And then after you write the answers, you begin to edit. So looking at all the answers from those questions, you begin to edit the statement to come up with a short, maybe like a little paragraph And then that paragraph, you want to take it with you, maybe in your purse, in your car, in your book bag, or whatever it is that you carry throughout the day. You can put it on a little sticky and keep it at your desk, or you can look at it before you go to bed at night. So there are a variety of things you can do with your vision statement to help keep you motivated and inspired.
Yeah. You know, that is really, it really is important to be able to have that. And, you know, so many times we go through life without really thinking and, you know, really without consciously maximizing our life. And you know, it is really important for people to recognize your skills. I've talked to many people who, you know, when I've asked them, you know, what they're passionate about, they're like, passion? I haven't had passion in 20 years. Really?
And that's
like,
so
not that passion.
Like just passionate about life, wanting to just get up in the morning. You hear people complain, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. And it's like, no, wake up and be joy-filled and purposeful. And so when you have a vision, I'll give you a good example of how a vision helps you focus your life. So let's say, for example, your vision is to empower and inspire people through radio. And so because that's your vision, if someone comes along and tries to sell you, I don't know, a boat business, then you say, nah, that's not something, you know, that's not something I want to do, because that doesn't go along with my vision to reach the world with radio. And so that's how you take your vision, to use it to focus your thoughts and focus your life and focus your career and focus your friends. And I'm not saying you use a vision to put you in a box, because there are many opportunities and avenues to manifest your vision, but it helps keep you aligned with what you want to do on this earth. So that helps you stop wasting time. It helps you stop going places that you know you have no business going. You know, you're just wasting time with people that don't have your best interests at heart or that don't align with your vision. So really the vision and the purpose helps you to really take action and set goals and find yourself in places that make you happy, that inspire you, and put you in position to really share your talents in the world. And then lastly, the vision, for example, when you're going through tough times, the vision also helps you keep track of what you've accomplished. So let's say your vision is to inspire and empower people through radio. When you have a hard day or a down day or something didn't turn out the way you planned, and we will all have those days, you can look back at your vision and say, okay, this is my vision. What have I done successfully thus far? And then you can start listening. I started Blog Talk Radio. I've talked to all these great people. I got excellent feedback. You know, this has really made me happy and joy-filled, and the list goes on and on. And so that's the whole purpose of having a vision and having focus and making sure that when it's time to close your eyes and you leave this earth, you can say, I did what I came here to do, and feel happy in that, no matter whatever time it is that we have to leave the earth, whether it's at 45 or 95, you can feel like, you know, I utilized my time on the earth well.
Yeah, very, very true. And it really does keep you focused and on track. So,
yeah.
Well, now, that was one principle, vision, and the second principle that you list is love. Love is important.
Yes, and it's so important because, like I said in my story, when everything else was gone, when I was stripped of every material thing and my job and everything that I thought made me a great person or have a great life, that's really all I had. All I had was the love of friends and family and love to give to others. I didn't have any money to give to people. I didn't have
any places I could take them that cost money. I didn't have any clothes or anything physical that I could share with people. All I had was love and kindness. You know, I could give someone a hug, or I could give someone a positive saying or affirmation, but that's all I had to give. And what I found was that that really would matter. And so if we take the focus off of striving to achieve things and attain things, a bigger house, a bigger car, a fancier life, and focus on love, you'll find that a lot of times those things come to you without you even trying to focus on them. I can't tell you how many times people have called to give us tickets to something or invite us to some free play or dinner or, you know, give us something. And a lot of times you just focus on giving out love in return, and magically it's returned back to you. So, again, that's one of those principles, like I said, like electricity. You don't try to expend brain cells on figuring it out. You just know that it works. And the more love that you give out, the more that's returned to you.
Yep, very, very true. Now, the third principle is power. Now, is that self-empowerment that you're talking about there?
It's all of the above. You know, can I just go backtrack to love
and
tell the readers a little bit about love? So love is just not giving love and receiving love, but a lot of what's in the love chapter has to do with loving yourself. And so when you have a vision, you can be happy in knowing that you don't have to compare yourself to anyone. You don't have to track your progress by how well someone else is doing versus how well you are doing. But that love also consists of loving everything about you. So loving your body, loving your health, loving your mind, loving your skills, your capabilities, as well as loving your finances, loving your home life. And so love consists of so many things that will help you increase self-esteem, as well as focus on the positive, giving love to others, but also really, truly loving who you are. And that's not to say you can't want to change things. Like, yes, I would love to lose 10 pounds, but that, you know, but I love myself. So if I never lose the 10 pounds, I still love me as a person. I still love the fact that I give of myself to help others. I still love my vision for my life and my mission. I still love the kindness that I give to others and things like that. So love is not just giving love to others, but it's really digging deep inside yourself to find things that you love about you. And so when you begin to love yourself, hopefully you will stop the self-sabotage, like overeating, over drinking, oversleeping, you know, doing work you're passionate about. So love encompasses so many other elements other than just giving love out.
Yeah, very, very true. That does really go a long way in moving us forward. So how about power, principle of power?
Okay, so, power is basically you have everything you need to live successfully, and that's a very powerful statement. A lot of times we feel victim or fall victim of life. We feel like we have to accept whatever is given to us or the hand we're dealt, and when you understand that you are powerful and that you can change your mind, or you can make a U-turn, or you can turn left, or you can turn right instead of going straight off the cliff, that is what power is all about. It's about loving yourself enough to ask for what you want. A lot of people feel like, I only have to take what is given. If I go to, let's say, get some chicken at the carryout, and they say white meat consists of breast and wings, most people will say, okay, that's what I got to take. But if you don't want that, why not ask for a breast and a leg and see? I mean, nothing beats a failure but a try. So in this chapter, it's basically helping people understand that you have choice. You have choices in how you want to live your life. So if you want to, just because you grew up in a cold place and your heart always wanted to be in a warm place, that doesn't mean you stay in a cold place for the rest of your life being miserable. You take a chance, you know, you take a chance on you, and what you'll find is when you're happy and you're passionate, that happiness exudes to other people. That happiness helps you to be a better person and find better careers and find happy people and things like that. But a lot of people, or what I found in the research, is that people are afraid. They feel fear. They're fearful of change. They're fearful of going against the status quo. When interviewing people, you'll hear people say, I always wanted to live in Florida. I always wanted to live in California. I always wanted to live someplace warm. But what's stopping you? Well, all my family's here. Well, I don't want to start over. So my thought is you have the power to dream any dream you want for yourself. You do not have to take what was given. The planes fly to California and Miami every day, or from the cold places every day. So, you know, find a way, start thinking outside the box to still earn a living and live in a warm place. You can always go back and visit your family. Do you really have to stay with them every day as a grown person? Do you really have to stay a block down the street? Now, it's different if you have, like, ailing parents and things like that. Of course, you have to look at the reality of what you're going through. But
right.
Maybe you can get a vacation home, or maybe you can live in a warm place when it's cold in your home state. So there are a myriad of options, but you have to know you have the power to think beyond and see beyond your current existence. So some of the things in the power chapter that are discussed is that you have the power to ask for what you want to need. You have the power to focus on the positive and not look at the negative. You have the power to expect a better life. You have the power to see your life the way you want it. So we talk about visualization and, you know, the affirmations, and also visualizing yourself doing the things you want to do. So if you want to live in a different place, visualize yourself living in that place. Visualize yourself going out on the weekends from that place. Visualize yourself having new friends. Visualize yourself wearing the clothes that you would wear in that new place. And then also we talk about how to reinforce those visualizations. And so you can do that by developing dream boards and vision boards, and you cut out pictures and put your face on them. If you want to live by the beach, you cut a picture out of your face and put it with yourself in a bikini or shorts. Or so we talk about visualizing it. And then we also talk about being in a position of expectation. You have to believe that you can have what it is that you want. So that's a big part. And I'm looking at my clock, and I know we've run out of time, so I want to
look at you.
Like, I could talk about this forever because I live it, I breathe it, I believe it.
Yes,
and so I want
yes.
other people to love their lives just as much. So
very
you want me to do
so.
Some of the affirmations now?
Yeah, let's just do a couple of the affirmations, and then
so,
we'll just kind of highlight the remaining principles.
Okay, great. And the vision, I'll give the three chapters that we talked about, I'll give you some affirmations to keep you going forward. So in the first chapter, we talked about your vision. Some of the affirmations that will help keep you focused on your journey to staying on purpose are, I live life to the fullest. Every decision brings me closer to my vision. And there are no failures. I learn from everything that I do. And so when you look at those affirmations, you don't have to be afraid, because you know that even the missteps or what people would think are mistakes really are setting you up to be where you want to be. In my example, look at all the stuff happened to me. Who would have thought
You know, just a few years later, I would be in Miami and remarried and have a son and you know, finish my PhD and stuff. So if I had focused on what had happened, I would never be able to do what I'm doing now on the radio talking to you. So,
there you go. Exactly.
Yeah, so affirmations help you do that. Okay, in the love chapter, some affirmations are, I give out love and it is returned to me multiplied. Love surrounds me every day and in every way. And I am rich beyond my wildest dreams. And so those affirmations help to stop some of the fear that if you decide to make a different choice that people will no longer love you. And if you do lose some friends because you decided to make a different choice, you can make new friends. And I put a story in about the military when I used to work for the Department of Defense. One thing I loved about military families, they move around and they don't have a choice. So they don't have a choice but to make new friends and new family. And what happens is they set up a community of support. They find friends because they have the same issues as normal people, finding good babysitters, finding a new mechanic, finding new places to eat, finding new churches or places to hang out. So, but they do it because they're almost forced to do it, but they do it so gracefully. And what they do on a yearly basis, we all need to be more open to doing it. And so you can feel the fear, and you can do it anyway. You're going to be okay.
Absolutely.
The power. Yeah, you're going to be okay. It might not seem like it, but you're going to be okay. And then lastly, in the power chapter, I can accomplish anything I set my mind to. Every day I see and live my dreams, and I am confident and ask for what I need.
Those are great. Those are very, very good. And, you know, and I truly believe in the power of using affirmations. I do that. I have recorded some in my voice with some music, and I play them almost every night. And, yeah, so I'm telling myself at night exactly what I'm supposed to know. But yeah, so that's really good. And sometimes it can be difficult for some people to, you know, come up with, you know, appropriate wording. So that's a big help. Well, Dr. Carolyn, we're not going to be able to get to the last three principles of trust, get help, and enjoy. So I guess people are just going to have to buy your book to go ahead and find out all about that. So anyway, do want to let everyone know that you are on Facebook. You have your own Facebook page there. And do want everybody to connect with and like Dr. Carolyn Edwards' page there. I have, and I hope you will too. And Dr. Carolyn, I really want to thank you for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation and look forward to keeping in touch.
Yes, please do. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
It is my pleasure. And again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Dr. Carolyn Edwards, and she is author of I Look Good, I Feel Good, I Am Good, The Woman's Guide to Love, Peace, and Happiness. And I do want to let you know, everyone, that I have a very special show coming up tomorrow. My guest is going to be Marella Scott. She is a best-selling author and motivational speaker. We're going to be talking about her book called In Our House, Perception Versus Reality. She's also been named an Oprah Winfrey Ambassador of Hope. Her book is rather gripping and inspirational, so I hope you'll be able to join us for that. Again, that will be tomorrow at this same time, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. And I want to thank you all for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again,
thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. To become a show follower, visit www.blogtalkradio.com/ByteRadioMe and click on the follow link. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at ByteRadioMe, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.